So let's go on, and we're going to talk about another case here of Emmanuel's, this 48-year-old man.
So this second case might get me in trouble, Neil, because I sometimes have the reputation of being an iconoclast, and I'm going to go out on a limb and propose something that might be a little bit crazy here, but here we go. So this is another real patient from my clinic, a European-American man, non-Ashkenazi, who was diagnosed at the age of 48, so again, quite young. This gentleman was diagnosed from a screening PSA, actually. The year before it had been 1.2, and then the year after it was 35. Because of the PSA, he had a bone scan and CT scan. Bone scan showed fairly widespread, about 6 bone metastases. CT scan showed enlarged prostate, invasion of the bladder, but otherwise no lymphadenopathy, no visceral disease. He did undergo a prostate biopsy for diagnostic and genomic purposes. He had a Gleason score of 4+5=9, perineural invasion. And again, in the family history, this gentleman had a sister who was diagnosed with advanced ovarian cancer at age 37. When I saw him, he had not had any genomic testing or germline testing. And at the time when I met him, despite the 6 metastases in the bone, he was completely asymptomatic. And because of his age and the importance of his sex life and other factors, he was extremely reluctant to begin any form of androgen deprivation therapy. So about 10 days after I saw him, we got the result of his Invitae test. This is a 20-gene panel, and he has a pathogenic BRCA mutation. Again, this is a frameshift mutation that leads to a premature truncation of the protein. And this was not surprising given his age and his sister's history of ovarian cancer. And we have a clinical trial at Johns Hopkins right now, which we call the TRION study. And this study is for men that have a germline HRD mutation, who have newly diagnosed metastatic hormone-sensitive prostate cancer, who are willing to forego or delay any ADT-based therapy. And these patients receive a PARP inhibitor, in this case, rucaparib, as a non-castrating therapy without any androgen deprivation. This gentleman enrolled on that study. And again, the remarkable thing about this study, which is why I think it's a bit iconoclastic, is that we are not using any form of ADT. We had a lot of trouble getting this past the FDA, actually, when we were writing this, because as we all know, ADT plus or minus docetaxel plus or minus abiraterone, enzalutamide, apalutamide is the standard of care. So we had to write the consent in such a way that the patient had to check a box that he was actively declining the current best standard of care. So this person's PSA was just above 35 when he enrolled on the study. He began the rucaparib, 600 milligrams POBID, without any ADT, without any antiandrogens. And over the course of the next 12 months, his PSA essentially became undetectable. Now, again, the most remarkable thing about this case is, as part of the study, we had to do a somatic analysis. And as you would have anticipated by this type of PSA trajectory, this patient did have a proven second hit in the tumor cell of the other BRCA2 allele. This is what we call biallelic inactivation. In other words, both copies of the BRCA2 gene were dysfunctional. So his HR function coming from BRCA2 was completely wiped out. And this person essentially had a complete response to the rucaparib as a monotherapy.
So my jaw is like down on the ground right now. I'm like, really? Whoa. This is amazing. I don't even know what to say. Oliver, I'll turn to you. Any comments?
Wow. No, really, pretty amazing. Really. And hats off to Emmanuel for getting way ahead of the curve on this one. So hats off to you, Emmanuel.